Hello, welcome to Level 3 Podcast. I am Dr. Chris DiStefano, or Reverend Chris DiStefano today. I don't know what I am, but what I do know is I have Teresa Greco here. She is awesome. She is an author. She is a happiness consultant, coach,
Expert.
expert. That's even better. You trump me on it. And I'm thrilled to have you here for real. Like we were just talking before the show, and it's funny because sometimes I'm a channel, and I probably shouldn't say that. I don't know when it's happening, but what I've learned is I have to listen to what I say because sometimes it's meant for me.
Oh, beautiful.
And I hear it all the time from other people. They're like, "Wow, I was just thinking that. I was just," and it's not like I have some special force. The words just happen. They come from the heart, you know?
Yes.
So enough about me. Everyone knows about me. I want to know about you.
Thank you. Thank you. Would you like me to share a little bit about that?
I would love for you to tell a little bit of how you got into this, sort of what steered you on this life course, because a lot of times that's for the most relatable part for people, because that's bringing you back to where they are. So I would love for us to start somewhere around there.
So I like to refer to it as my happiness journey. And basically, it all began for me. It was the milestone of turning 40 that had me taking a step back and reevaluating my life. And so at that point, my life looked pretty perfect on the outside. I had checked off all the things that family, society, culture, and religion told me I needed to have a happy life. So fulfilling career. I've been an educator my whole life, an educational technologies consultant. So, check. Beautiful, healthy family, our own home, check, check. Vacations a year, cars in the driveway, lots of material things. And so, if my life checked off all the boxes, how is it that I still felt unhappy and unfulfilled with my life? And so, that milestone, which I think we all have those crossroad moments that are either caused by a death, a loss, an accident, perhaps an illness that has us reflecting on our life. For me, it was just that big milestone that if I had arrived at half my life at that point, could I imagine living the same life for the next 40 years? And although again, my life looked perfect, so how is it that I felt unhappy and unfulfilled? And basically, it started me on a path of self-discovery where I realized that there were actually, I always felt like there was something missing and that there was a void in my life that no matter how much more education I got, how much more job experience I got, how much more I tried to help people, I always felt that there was this void. And no matter how much more I bought, how much more I earned, how much more I achieved, I still couldn't fill it. I now know what that void and that something missing was. And I discovered that through a whole bunch of really self-healing that I had to do. Then I did that for about 5 years or so. And then I decided as an educator that I couldn't just hold all of this information to myself, that I wanted to help other people who might have been feeling the same way. And eventually I realized that I wasn't alone in how I was feeling, that there are many people around that age that start to ask some of the same questions and realize that they themselves have achieved all the things, right? They have like a certain level of success in their business, in their career. They have the home, they have the kids, they have all this. And why is it that we still feel unhappy? And so I decided that I was going to try to help other people. And then this is where it just kind of ended up evolving into a whole bunch of other things, all relating to happiness.
Beautiful. And I feel like the way I would summarize, if you don't mind, would be you did have the life that you were told you should have, but you weren't heart connected to your world. I'm not saying you didn't love your family. You know exactly what I mean.
It was really hard connected to myself, really, that I
Yes.
lost myself in the living of my life. That was that I realized when I was having coffee with a friend of mine, and I said, I've lost myself. Like, I actually don't know who I am. Like, how does somebody get to 40 years old and not know who she really is? Because My identity was all caught up in my roles and responsibilities, that in me trying to be the perfect wife, perfect mother, perfect daughter, perfect employee, perfect friend, whoever I thought I needed to be, wearing many different masks in that, oh, this is Teresa at work. This is Teresa with her in-laws. This is Teresa with her kids. This is Teresa. So it was like, I didn't even know who I was. And so when you say I wasn't heart connected, I wasn't connected to myself authentically.
Yes.
And I, looking back for most of my life, and now, and that's why it's all tied into that something missing, that void, which we can get into too. But yes, that's right.
Yes. Before we do, I actually would like to flesh out a little bit of what you had said earlier. It's amazing. The crossroad moment also for some of us would be hitting bottom for some of us. And you probably have a similar take where the life challenges now. I see the opportunity. Wow, this is an area I needed to grow. Where before I felt like the world was beating on me. And now I see how I'm learning through the world, reflecting me. And the resistance is so much less, but not quite getting there yet. In terms of that's not where I want this to go. It's more that I love the connection to the heart and how you discovered that, and that you said a path of self-discovery. I just for people out there, because a lot of people are really, because I talk to people all the time, and I view this as pin the tail on the donkey, if you've ever played that game. Consciousness cannot hide from itself, and I believe. I very much follow, it's a parallel to the dream model, is how I view reality. And it can't hide from itself. So the games that we create are very reflective of the game we're in. And I believe that part of the game, the challenge is we set ourselves up in knots. We live in a world of incorrect information and we don't trust ourselves and we make our decisions from fear. And from scarcity. And oh my God, you want to have fun with me? Come in and say, I should do something. Oh, I should do this. I should be nicer. And that's when you get to see the other side of me because I do feel in the earlier part, we are playing characters that we're told to play. Now, different sides of my being will get reflected. In different circumstances, I am a completely different person at different times, but I'm 100% me in all of those people. And it's a very different experience. It's authenticity. So, what I'm very curious about is your path of self-discovery, because we all have such different ones. And I just, if you don't mind sharing any of that.
Thank you. So the part that I discovered was my spiritual self, that I had been disconnected from that, although I was religious, grew up Catholic, connected to God my entire life. But I have, it's less now, but I had a lot of resentment towards my religion by keeping God outside of me, keeping spirit, keeping essentially my spirit, my essence away from me by having me believe that it was outside somewhere out, and my priest told me it was at church, and if I needed to connect with God, I needed to go to church, that's where it was. I had, at that time when I had all these questions, I had a stack of books on my nightstand of people who were hearing from God, seeing God. And I said, I want to know. I want to know how to do that. So, because it was the lowest point of my life too, I had these questions that no one was going to be able to answer. And I said, I need help. So I went to a medium and I said, listen, I need to hear from God. I have questions. No one else is going to be able to help me, but even to say like my higher self, right? That my soul would know what I'm supposed, why I'm here. What's the whole purpose of this human existence? And so she says, they're telling me that you need to meditate. Now we have to understand that this was over 10 years ago. Meditation at that time was weird and woo-woo. That when they she said, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to do it. That I was taught to pray from a little girl. No, I knew how to pray, but I had no idea of what meditation was. Ironically, there was a meditation center directly across the street from my Catholic church. And then I used to see that little sign and out of that house. And I was like, what are they doing there? Anyways, I decided to call them and I said, hi, like I've been instructed that I need to meditate. I don't know what that is. They said, oh, great. We have a meditation circle here once a month. We can, if you want to come, we can help you get started. That first experience was like, it was like the other side, which I now call my divine crew, that my divine crew is made up of my angels, my guides, ancestors, a whole bunch of invisible energy that is there loving me, guiding me, and supporting me all the time. That we just can't. I say sometimes I wish we could, we had the energy goggles so that we could see the energy around us. But nevertheless, as soon as I connected to that, that moment, people have asked me, they're like, what was that moment like when you first? It was like this. Oh, it was like that moment that you would imagine the angels just like singing out to you, like, oh my God, that's how it was. And it was like, holy, may I allow to swear?
Please do.
like, holy shit, that there was
Yes.
an entire universe inside of me that I had been disconnected from, that there was so much love inside of me that I had no recollection of, let's say, because part of this experience is to be disconnected from it, and that I had been looking for love outside myself my entire life, that I didn't know that I was love myself. I was looking for love in my parents, in my friends, and in everyone trying to accept me and like me, looking always, everything has to do with that love, not knowing that I was love. As soon as I connected to it, it was like overflowing of like it would just be like almost like this background, like this light and all of this immense love that then had me crying firstly. And they'll tell you that every time I went, I cried for an entire year because I was so overwhelmed by the amount of love that's there, that exists inside of us to tap into. And it then helped me to realize all the ways that I wasn't loving myself every single day. It made me realize that meant the ways that mentally I wasn't loving myself, emotionally I wasn't loving myself, and physically. And that was all part of the healing process, that it all began with meditation. That I now say that meditation is that very quick way of connecting with our spiritual self, and that our happiness exists innately in our spiritual self. Our spiritual self is always loving, at peace, and happy. It is that. We are that.
Yes.
It's the physical, mental, and emotional aspects of ourselves in this human experience that is like disconnected from that. And so our work is always, how do I align to the happiness that I am, that I am, not as a feeling, not as a thought. My essence is happiness, and happiness always, and happiness in abundance, but I'm misaligned. Or I'm disconnected. So when people say, well, why don't I feel happy? It's because there are aspects of you that are disconnected from the happiness that you always are.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And one of my big issues is English is really not the best language for the word love. There are so many different types of love that fall under one word. And if I were to guess, I'd say you were deeply immersed in the universal love when that was happening. And it's a very different feeling than a romantic love or a parental love, and the perfection of it. It's a very safe, it's understanding. So I'm just gonna, I love what you said, and so much of it resonates. So I'm just gonna touch a few things. I was raised Catholic, and there's, first of all, most people that belong to religion, and please give me all the hate, I'm saying it. Most people that belong to religions are hedging their bets. They're like, well, maybe there's a big guy, maybe there's not. If I go here, I'm going to check a box and I'll be on his good side. They don't change their life. Their life is not a testament of faith or an expression of divine love through them. They're not in faith. They're not of faith. I've also found very recently that where I am currently, if I have, let's say, I had anxiety a month or two ago and I couldn't get rid of it. It was like for a couple of days and, I tried getting high, it didn't work. I tried to play video games. My son was on the system. I had to deal with it. I had to dive in and really feel it. And it was beautiful. It was because we're at the point where the question is, why is this happening? What is this gift? And the gift was showing me where I didn't have my faith, showing me where I was doubting my creator and my creator's love, where I was disconnected. And true confession, it hurt. Getting myself to incorporate those parts that I had pushed away was physically painful and emotionally put me raw for a day or two. And I would do it 1,000 times more because the end result is worth it. It's almost addictive going through it because it's so beneficial, so deepening of my presence and love and happiness. So, and the God outside, I had an experience. I was listening to Lester Levinson. I was driving and I was thinking of God and prayer and all that, and how we push God, but God is put on a pedestal. That gap between me and God is false. That's lies. And while God is there, we're pushing away the gift because we're reaching a strive. All of it is pushing away. So, and the divine crew. So the way I work, I'm an acupuncturist and a coach. And when I'm doing acupuncture, I'm using a huge amount of intuition. I just lean on these guys and they give me everything. And all I refer to them as them. I have very cool gifts and very interesting blind spots. So they talk to me through music, through radio. It's always perfect as long as I have ears to hear. And this is the other thing I want people to know, because people are like, oh, you can do this and that. I had to work 10 times harder for everything I can do. I have reasons for it, and just keep doing it because what else are you going to do? Just keep believe, work for yourself. It's it even if you're stubborn like me and fighting it, it's worth it. It's worth the journey. So that's just a little bit like the experience. Again, for most of us, is going to start from hitting a relative bottom, from hitting, and that's when we're able to surrender. And I had a meditation experience, and it was amazing because it was like a 1980s cop movie, and because I wasn't good at visualizing at the time, so but it was like someone yelled in my ear, "Stop resisting," because the resistance really is the pain.
That's right.
It's really something. So you get yourself to a point, and I also love, you see, what you have right here is what I try to demonstrate all the time. I try to do this every time. We start off on our wrong path. We start off following the path of fear and scarcity. All of us, it's the game. And then we learn to start valuing, trusting and caring for ourselves. Like I was asked someone the other day. She comes in basically for acupuncture, but her sister sent her, so she came in for a little bit more. And she has anxiety, she has this other stuff, she's had it forever, blah blah blah. She's on a few meds. So I take about 15, 20 minutes because she's from out of town, so I wanted to give her as much as I could. And I was like, you have to love yourself the way God loves you. You have to care for yourself. What you're doing, if your child was having that done, what would your response be? If your child was having that done to him, or if your mother was having that done to her, is that okay for a person you love? And she started crying right there on the spot. She'd been through years of therapy and everything, but connected, at least for a moment, to loving herself. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to start exploring self-love because happiness, as awesome as it is, I don't believe it's sustainable without having that self-love.
I agree because so happiness is a facet of love. Love is the foundation that I look at it like a prism. So the prism is love. When you shine light through the prism, it creates this beautiful rainbow of color. The rainbow of color are all the good feeling emotions that stem from love. So happiness is a facet of that love. It feels unsustainable when we're disconnected from the love. As soon as we're connected to the love that we are, happiness is a direct part of that. Peace, harmony, excitement, enthusiasm, all the good feelings that we feel. So when people are like, oh, I'm so happy when I'm exercising. Well, because you're connected, because you probably love exercising, you probably love moving your body. Oh, I feel so happy when I'm cooking. It's probably because, again, you love what you're doing. So when we're connected to that love, I realize this. So through all of this, I've become a Reiki master, also a channeler. Everything I know about happiness is actually my direct conversations with spirit, where I, especially during COVID when I had more time, and I actually worked with a practitioner, a facilitator that helped me to become a channeler in the sense that I was already speaking to spirit as a Reiki master, but then as a channeler, then it becomes more fluent and I can have direct conversations. Then was able to ask questions. Is this happiness? What about this? Is this happiness? What about this? And so even all like the analogy of the prism, that was all something that they gave me to understand what happiness really is. And so everything that I know is because of what they've told me, that I know what everyone else knows about happiness. But we've been led astray. We've been misguided. And so
And
whenever I'm disconnected, I go to them and I'm like, why do I feel the way that I do? And they tell me it's because of this. And it's often again that I'm disconnected from the love that I am. So
yes.
happiness, as you said, doesn't feel sustainable, but it is when we're connected to the love that we are.
It's almost like, and I'm trying not to say that in a bad way, but it's almost like the energy one gets from candy when we're relying on external force to determine how we view ourselves. We're still using that crutch. We're still setting ourselves up for toxic codependent relationships. We're still getting blown around like a leaf in the wind. We don't have direction. We're not connected at that level. And I like what you do, I'm sure, is levels above what I do, but I'd like to just help people understand when we get this information, and I get my own in a different way, it speaks to the heart. And it's not the same. And listening to somebody who speaks their truth versus someone who's speaking from book knowledge, it's indescribably different, but it is not. So for us to hear that would be like somebody literally reading a book to tell a story, and it's not even their book, and they've the first time looking at it, versus someone who's telling a story that happened to them. It's a very different energetic. And so I call them truths. And I'm cool with paradox. I understand some of my truths, even for me, at different vibrational levels, the opposite may be true. And my heart can hold both. The mind won't hold both, but the heart can. So just an exploration of, like, this is the most important thing a person can do. So really, what you've written 3 books?
No, I have. So I have my own book that's called The Steps to Happiness, which
Yes.
is actually, so I'm pursuing my PhD with my dissertation on happiness. My dissertation is proving what spirit told me happiness is.
Yes.
So that's the challenge actually, is that when I had to, one of my assignments was trying to find other dissertations out there for mine to piggyback off of, per se, there aren't any. So now I'm like, okay, like if I'm going to do this, you need to give me the information because it does not yet exist on this planet. So as you said, when we connect to divine intelligence, that is where we have access to information that does not yet exist on this planet. That's like, you know, Einstein was quoted saying that he doesn't know even where the formula came from because
Yes.
he was just allowing it to flow through him and out. That, you know, all of the great inventions, Tesla, Edison, all of the things that came to be, it's because they were already in existence, let's say in another dimension. But when we tap into it, we have access for it, like to come in as downloads, right? And
Yes.
I say downloads because it's almost like we need to give it space. That if things are chaotic and we're feeling anxious or we're being pulled away by the human reality, that quieting our mind enough and being in that state of flow, which is what, you know, science calls it, our flow state, when we're tapped in, we're in the zone, is where we make ourselves open and available for those downloads to come in. I try to give myself as much time as I can, tapping into that. So I, to be honest, Chris, I find that I don't learn anything that's on the planet right now in existence. To be honest, I feel like it's a lot of regurgitated information now that it's like, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. And that if I want to know something, if I want to know because it's part of my reality, as you talked, you know, you've alluded to some things in what you've already said about the reality that we're experiencing and the game and the sim. You know, technically that we're each in,
Yes.
and that what comes to me is different than what's going to come to you. How it comes to me is going to be different than how it's all like it's all dependent on who we are. But nevertheless, I try to give myself time to tap into that so that it can inform what I do every day. When you said about like surrendering to that information, it's like we actually need to be doing that more so that we can be guided, as you've said, that people come to you, they need help, that you're opening yourself up to that divine intelligence to come through you so that you can share that information. So you said, have I written a book? So I have my own book, but I can't release it because it's part of my PhD. I have been a part of though, where I have chapters that I've talked about this in five best-selling co-authored books.
There we go. Thank you. And this is the cool thing. Like, I love this because honestly, I don't know if you have the same issue. It's hard. I have captive audiences when I'm working. People that have been around me long enough can have a conversation, but I'm kind of a little bit off center. I love where I am. But yeah, in terms of a Venn diagram, there's not a lot of overlap in my reality with some people's realities. But what I'm trying to do, because I know you feel it and I know you know it, the energy right now is off the charts. Everyone is facing their challenges because we have to grow right now. That's what exactly it is. A amazing time to be alive. If you have latent abilities, they're coming online, but you're going to have to deal with your inability to have boundaries first. And it's going to present its way, custom made just for you. It is the key to your lock. And resisting it will make it harder. It still happens. And listening gently, being kind, loving yourself makes it a beautiful experience. It can be uncomfortable still, but there's beauty in that too. And it's really, nurturing, loving yourself, and the world will always give it back. The world is a mirror. Reality is a mirror. So one of the downloads I got once is I do a lot of exploration into what I am. And it's an extreme, it's basically like high level physics. I'm like, why do I do this? It doesn't matter why. It's what I'm supposed to do. And what makes humans I believe it's almost like a role-playing game. Let's say you have 100 points that you could spend on a character. Because if you notice, most animals are built very similar. There's certain structures, forearms or four limbs, five fingers on each. Cats have four on their back feet. Similar number of vertebra, but where cats will have mobility and agility, and blah blah blah, we have very good intelligence, creativity, and dexterity. And I believe the dexterity is absolutely amazing because it gives us the capacity to create beauty in the image of and in service of and to appreciate that beauty. And that does get talked about in some circles, but that is divinity expressed in this plane. Everything is, I'm not going to argue, but that is divinity expressed in this plane, and our ability to do that is just, it's magic. And I admire people, you see sculptors and artists of all type and architects just creating beauty, and that beauty, that's their download. And it's such, if you're going through the day without one thing sparking wonder, you need to mix it up a little bit. And I'd like to start on a different topic, and I'm going to begin saying gratitude exercises are one of the most important things at any step in the journey. I am so against dogma. I'm not a big writer. So for me, writing down gratitude is less effective than me feeling fully into it in my heart. I'm more kinesthetic. And so that helps to set the vibration. And I do it throughout the day. I do it all the time. And it's one of the best habits we can develop. We are a collection of habits. I was depressed for a very long time. Those were bad thought habits. So what I'd like to do now, because we have such different backgrounds, and people that are watching or listening, a lot of people may not even know happiness is a realistic goal. And self-love, obviously, and there's one slight difference too. You talk more about love, and I love love. I love faith because it's that trust that faith has that allows us to do the courageous things, to make the tough decisions, to act from authenticity, because in our heart we know that we are in service of and it will be provided. And that gives birth to what I call courage. And courage is what I call faith in action. So those are just a couple of, like, those are a couple of areas that I like to start in. And I'd love to hear some of your gems that just work for everyone.
Thank you. Recently, I've been, let's say, exposed to looking at the word faith, a little bit deeper, in the sense that even how you've expressed it is how even that I was, let's say, made to understand. And I say made because there's so much programming and conditioning that that we undergo as we grow up as children by often well-meaning people around us, like our parents, teachers, religious leaders, that tell us information about what this world is all about. And that information then becomes part of the computer program that's running our life. And that Joe Dispenza says, by the time we're age 35, that computer program is so set in stone that oftentimes we're just living on autopilot. And that we're just going through the motions, and you wake up, you go to work, you come home, you eat, sleep, repeat, and it's just the same thing. That it's only until you wake up and become consciously aware how you are actually creating your reality moment by moment with every single choice that you make. Most people don't realize that. They think that life is living them. But the truth is, you are creating the reality that you are living with every single choice. That me in this now moment, my life is this, is me here in this conversation with you. This is the reality that I'm living. And that
Yes.
once you and I disconnect, I'm now in the next now moment, creating that reality with whatever choice. Maybe I scheduled it in my calendar a week ago or whatever, but that's now the reality that I'm living,
Can
that
I add
moment
one
ever
thing?
now.
Because I don't think you're going far enough. You're holding back. I would say we are co-creators of our reality, or you could say creator. Whether or not we choose to be, it is either conscious or unconscious, no matter what, we're creating it. And the subconscious runs a ton of programs, and those are habits. So, what you're saying is very, it's a concrete, but also, if I'm sitting here thinking something, I'm sending the vibration out. If I start visualizing something, I'm sending the vibration out and it gets reflected back. If I'm here hating on somebody, holding on to anger, I'm sending that out, and that's going to get reflected back at me. The world will give it back. So I feel like you're holding back a little bit. Do not. We can go totally woo, or we can go straight biophysical. No matter what level we're operating at, it's a choice. And Joe is 100% right, with a caveat. I say almost everything is programs run on autopilot. I am programmed to do things and I have habits. But where there's free will, I believe, is through intent. The intent is the control from a distance that reprograms and has the power to create our desired reality and our desired character, living our true and authentic life. So, I'm sorry to have cut you off, but I don't want any, like, for real, negative self-talk and negative thoughts on ourselves, big time, watch like a cat outside a mouse hole. They tear us down every time.
Every time, and we end up living very limited lives. But it's all what I was trying to say is that when you, I believe, because as you said, I think that most people sub unconsciously are creating. I believe, but that when you realize that you can do that consciously with
Yes.
every choice that you make, it is hugely empowering because
Yes.
now you're no longer a victim to the human experience, but you're actually creating your human experience. And we get pulled away all the time, every single day. I get pulled away, and I know I've been pulled away because my emotional self communicates that with me. So when you
Yeah.
were saying that you were feeling anxiety, your emotional self was saying that you're out of alignment with the truth of who you are, because the truth of who you are is not believing the thoughts, is not in accordance to the thoughts that you're having about this thing. So our
Yes.
emotional self is always telling us, am I believing what my inner being is saying about me? Because my inner being believes that I'm magnificent, extraordinary, exceptional, unique, special, creative, all the good adjectives there could be. That's what my inner being always believes about me. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm not moving ahead in my business. I'm such a loser. Oh, this isn't working out and this is not coming into my reality. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, as you said, that negative self-talk, right? That is always there. They're lies. There are lies that come in and go and tell you that you're the opposite of what your inner being tells you about yourself. And you know, because emotionally you don't feel good. You feel sad, you feel angry, you feel frustrated, you feel defeated, you feel limited, you feel criticized, you feel all of
Yeah.
that. And because my inner being is saying, no, Teresa, that's not true. Don't believe that about yourself because you're awesome and incredible. And in this moment, you are telling yourself otherwise.
I love your energy. No, because this is the I can't say enough good about what you just said. It's really, this is number one in coaching, is the self-love. What's stopping the self-love? Lies. Doubt, false belief. It's all the same thing. In the world of anyone, the way I view it is a computer virus. It's running in the background, it's sucking up resources, it's destroying the system, and most of the time we don't even know it's there. And that's why I loved when I had the anxiety. It helped me to see. It was like it popped it up above the surface. It's like, here it is. You have a chance to pull it out by the roots right now. And I'm like, we're playing. Bring it. I tried pushing it away, but then it was time to play. I was told, you can't avoid this. You gotta do it. You gotta step up. Feel it. And I used to, I'm very analytical, and I've been working very hard on that for decades to work with the other side of myself. And it's so easy for me to sequester it and make myself safe. And all that is death. And not the good kind where I'm just in the ground and dead. That's walking death. And I'm not understating it. It's pain. It's self-inflicted pain. It's a repudiation of myself and my divine nature. And choosing limit, choosing fear, choosing doubt, and rejecting the divine blessings bestowed upon all of us.
Yes, we're all made in the likeness of our creator. All I was listening to this analogy today of, I don't know if you're familiar with Bashar's work at all.
Course.
And so he was using this analogy of an ice cube being put on, I don't know, like a counter or something like that. And a hammer comes and breaks the ice cube into a whole bunch of different pieces, and that the ice cube represents existence, and our creator, let's say, and that all the little pieces of the ice cube or all the droplets of the ocean, right? The same type of idea, that each little piece of that ice cube has the same qualities as the whole. And so each of us are like that, that we are all made in the likeness of our creator, that we have all of those same qualities inside of us. But part of the sim, right? Part of why we come and have this human experience is because we want to experience that limitation. We want to experience that
The
disconnection,
limitation is the miracle.
the
Keep going.
separation. And the separation, right? It's part of
That's
that.
the limitation. Yeah, it's the miracle.
And then coming home. But the interesting part of all of this is that the hologram, let's say, that we're creating, when, which is, it, this is so fascinating, but it's actually when we're asleep, technically, when our spiritual self is asleep. It's having this human experience. It's creating this hologram. And then when we go to sleep at night, let's say our consciousness rejoins with the spiritual self, and then it reconnects. And then again during the day when we're awake, it has this hologram that we're in and we're experiencing, that we're always spirit, always. And we think that we're connecting to our spirit, but it's our spirit is actually projecting this hologram as me and my physical self. So I'm never disconnected from, like, my spirit is actually creating the movie, let's say.
And that's why so much of this work, and this is it's a process of removal. It's not adding. There's nothing to be added. There is nothing to be added. And I just want to circle back on the miracle of limitation. Because the infinite, without the deception, can never know what it's like to overcome an obstacle. Can never experience that type of growth, can never take that leap of faith, can never have courage, can never take risk. None of that exists to the infinite. And those are beautiful human experiences. Even the loss that we have, the ones that the experiences we certainly don't want to repeat are unique to the limitation. And it's this incredible. Recently, I was having a shift. And I was almost mourning what I would lose and miss, even things that I don't like, because they add a richness, they add a depth, they add, in a way, there's slight losses of what I call humanity. And It helps me to appreciate what I do have. You know, there's a depth. It's like those scenes in the movie, like in American Beauty. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a plastic bag flying around and the kid is videotaping it. Just the beauty of the plastic bag flying around. And it's trash. It's ugly, but it's beautiful when he shows it that way. So it's, yeah, I love that you touched on the limit, though. A lot of people don't go there, and it's really powerful, really powerful.
Because it's all part of the experience. On the other side, we don't, it's only love and bliss. It's all, that's all it is all the time. Here is where now we get to experience all the other feeling emotions that we don't feel when we're just energy. So it's all part of it. And to say that we actually create the situations so that we can experience the full range of other emotions that we don't have the opportunity to feel again when we go over to the other side. It's only unconditional love, that love that you said we don't even feel here in human form, because we can feel it when we tap into it, but like you said, it's different than like, you know, parental love or love with your partner or however that could be. And so it the this realm of duality helps us to appreciate one, or you know, because of the negative, we can appreciate the positive. So the limitation, yes, is all part of what we came here to experience. It's all, you know, and part of us think, why would we do that to ourselves? But it's all the part of this growth and expansion process that we came here to experience.
That's beautifully put. And one of the things I like to share with people is it's all done out of love. So I'm not alone to say the world has kicked me in the teeth more than once. And it's hard going through it. It's, you know, we all have our own custom version of hell that we put ourselves through when we're not on the correct path to bring us back to the path of the heart. And it involves a surrendering and a hitting bottom and pain that, as I say, I would not wish my path upon another, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. And people who've walked it know what I mean. And it's done out of love. If I have a child and I'm walking down the street with a child runs into the road. I say, you know, Sam, please don't run into the road. Child runs into the road again. Might take him by the hand, be like, gotta stop running into the road. Well, after a few more times running into the road, Sam is going to think I'm a pretty mean guy because I can't have something that bad happen. So, out of love, I am going to have to corral that the child. But it's all from love. And on the ground level, it's hard to see that. But it's just love. And that, for me, helps to keep me in a good place. Because sometimes when things happen, where I used to go is down, oh, the world, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, what am I learning? Where am I going wrong? Where is this? What's it trying to tell me?
Yes,
And I
that's a
feel into
great
my
point.
heart. Like you had said, my body will tell me. My body has its own intelligence. My body. And oh, it tells me.
Yes, all aspects of ourselves are constantly communicating with us, always. We
Yes.
just don't listen to it, or we numb it out, right? Or we distract ourselves, or whatever the multitude of things we do, instead of listening to what it is that it's trying to say. And I feel like it always boils down to us not loving ourselves the way that we need to. It always boils down to us maybe not feeling like we're enough, that we're worthy, and that it's showing itself, manifest that knowledge is manifesting itself in whatever form it's coming up. But it always goes back to that we're not loving ourselves, even when we hate on our body. Like, even when, and you're in the medical profession, so this language around, you know, the war on cancer, or the like, the war on, it's like, well, what about if the cancer is that our body created that because, again, we're not loving our body the way that we need to, and we have been mistreating it for many years by polluting it with various chemicals, you know, whether that's alcohol, you know, toxins, drugs, alcohol, processed foods, like things that we, if you really saw your body as a temple to your soul, a temple to your spirit that's going to do all the wonderful things that it wants to do in this human experience. And that I have, and I'm saying this because I didn't love my body before. I hated my body, and I hated it because it didn't match up to societal expectations of what, you know, the pillar of beauty looks like. And how did I know that? Well, it's because as a young child, I was told, well, you're not pretty enough, and you're not skinny enough, and your legs are too big, or your nose is too big, or whatever it is, right? So you're just like, oh, okay, I guess like the perfection body that God gave me is actually not as perfect as I thought it was when I was just a little kid. And now I ended up hating, like mostly hating on my body, physically mistreating my body. And what about if it's like that's the stuff, as you said, is coming up for healing? Like whether it's emotional dis-ease, as you said, but physical, the physical manifestations of emotions, perhaps, or unconscious things that aren't being resolved need to come up, and it's just showing you that that needs to come up for healing and for letting go and for forgiveness.
I am right here. I am inside here. I am also everything out there. It's all reflecting me. And I see it all the time. This is why I do the coaching, the hypnotherapy. I do a ton of stuff. Why? My patients know. I had a guy, I've told this story before, but I had a patient come in. The guy, he's in his late 30s, a little heavy set. He's a nurse on a psychiatric ward, comes in. I see him once every couple of years, few visits, his back goes out, right? Comes in. He's like, my back is out. I'm like, okay, why? He's like, because I'm fat. I'm like, you don't say that to me. Were you fat 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Was your back out? No. Then it's not from you being fat. What's going on? He was going through, his mother-in-law was moving, he was packing. So all the stress was held in the body. And I'll tell you what. What do we have? A trillion cells is some crazy number in the body, right? I go around thinking, you see, it's all the thoughts. The thoughts create the events in the world. You can drink poison like the yogis and be fine if your mind is completely clear. It's that, but you have to be at that vibration. And that's a very special vibration. It's very refined. Do not try this at home. But it's my thoughts. So I was depressed for a long time. My thoughts. I wake up. By the way, Jim Carrey, best definition of depression. Sadness is like something bad happens. Depression is your body can no longer stand the character you're pretending to be. You're so far out of sync with who you are. So
Love that. I've said that before too.
powerful, right?
I've said that before too. It's like a very deep knowing that you are not living the life you came here to live.
And so you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel because you're so far off the road, you don't have the tunnel. But that's how fast it can turn. So depression. Here I am feeling like crap. So my vibration, and if I were to bring up the Hawkins scale, it would be, let's say, 50. Stuck in apathy. Every cell in my body is in the worst weather you can think of because of my attitude. It's a choice. You know what? I'm going to go right there with you because we're doing this. We're playing it. It's a choice. Being happy takes effort sometimes. Sometimes we have to push ourselves into it. And I love setting up, it's called slides and transurfing stuff, whatever you want to set up something good, set up a goal because subconscious, I'm all over the place, but you're following me. I know that. Subconscious does not understand negatives. So I don't want to be poor. Guess what, buddy? You're going to be eating, sardines out of a can if you're lucky. I am abundant is now setting a program and setting a vibration and setting a direction and a target. It's like throwing a mark. It's like throwing a javelin and then letting it go and it soars and it gets there. As opposed to, I don't want to be poor. You're just going to be swimming in that mud, fall, sinking in that quicksand, suffering because you're literally programming yourself poor, poor, poor. You think of your body, my stupid body, my this. I realized the other day, because sometimes I don't exercise as much as I should. I still have the strength I had 20 years ago because my mental image of myself still knows what I can do and it tells my body, and my body does it. So that's dad strength described, by the way. But yeah, you are nailing it with this stuff because if we only knew, and I want to go back to it, we are. You can look at it, it's hard to describe it. I don't have the best answer. The rational mind sort of resembles the devil. It's reductionist, separate, lies, everything else. And then the other side of that coin is divinity. So we are the unique character. And I'm not saying a pretend one. We are also God. We are God having the experience of Teresa. We're God having the experience of Chris. And I'm going to give God a good story. I'm going to give God an experience worth having. Because what choice do I have other than to deliver, other than to live?
And it's so limited, Chris. It's only maybe 100 years, maybe. Now I'm on the other half. So now it's like, oh geez, like my to say my time is like I'm no longer climbing to like the halfway mark. I'm now like on the other half. And when you realize how precious life is and how and what your body is doing, what the shell itself is doing, right? It's not doing what it was when I was 20 years old. It's doing other things and it's providing another experience. Like it's
Yes.
if you look at it as like, oh wow, like now that my body is aging, and I'm doing everything that I can to love my body now in ways that I never did before, I think it's going to get back to me, but it's providing another reality for me to experience. And it's like I have different conversations with my friends, and it's like almost like every decade we're experiencing something different, right? Like when we were teenagers, there's a whole reality that you get to experience. And then when you're as a young parent, you have there's like a whole reality. So it's like, and I'm just going to shift a little bit just to talk about purpose,
Yes.
in that. One of the questions I asked was the because I had this something missing in this void, I thought, well, maybe I'm not living my purpose. You know, maybe that's why I feel like there's a void. And it turns out that most people feel like they don't know what their purpose is, that there's only 25% of people that think that they're actually living their purpose. And so I dove into that idea around what that is exactly. And I've realized, and that I've written about it, and I've had my own shows on this too, is that our definition of purpose needs to be redefined. That purpose is not actually one big thing that we came here to live, but that it's actually more about being on purpose in every single moment. That I was on purpose when my children were young and I was, you know, at home and I wasn't working as much and I was doing what I was doing. And I felt that I was in the right place at the right time, doing exactly what I was meant to be doing at that time. But then as my children have gotten older, my purpose, that the things that I do now, I feel always the same way, that I always feel like I'm exactly where I need to be, doing exactly what I'm doing, and I'm in the right moment at the right time. So purpose is not us doing one big thing, but rather us doing all the different things that we came here to do. That's part of this life path. And you know that you're living a life on purpose because you always feel like you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing in that moment at the right place at the right time. You always feel happy. That happiness is like that compass that tells you you're on purpose. Because you're on path.
I love that. I really resonate so powerfully with that because you get it.
Yeah.
No, you do, because someone could be like, my purpose is to educate someone and whatever, and that's awesome. But you're right, at different points in life, in different moments, what is true for us
Yeah.
can shift. And to stay locked
Yeah.
and static, that's resistance, that's death, that's harm. And to be able to just on the fly, and I'm going to go slightly, and you touched on this, pleasure seeking and pain avoidance is a biological function at the very base level of every organism. And we have that if we are, and especially at the lower vibrations, we tend to get pain to give us aversion to the wrong path. And it's suffering and it's pain. And as we begin to listen better, we start to feel the wind at our back and it feels good when we are doing the right and proper act for where we are. And then we begin to stay on that course and to ride that wind wherever it takes us, and it's supporting us. It is we the power coming from the unknown, the power coming from our back is beyond compare. Nothing in the world, because all the traffic lights will turn green because the whole world is dancing with us now. And that's purpose. Because in the end, this is like a dream. I'm going to use my dream analogy. The dream is like, in my, it's kind of like a sandbox. It's similar to this reality with much looser rules, and we can play more in it. This one is a little more static. And in a dream, everything is me. I'm projecting it from consciousness. And what's real in the dream? What's the purpose of it? You see, a lot of people, and this is, I'm finishing my book if I ever do. I tear into dogma because it's so harmful. And there's really heavy dogma that says, you're not the body. And I can almost, you're not only the body, but the body is your only home. It's home base when you're here in this plane. So anyone that gets locked into that, please, please, please walk away. I got sucked into a lot of non-duality, and it did actually deepens pathology. But the story isn't real. Is another big one, because they're selling this to people who are not happy, and they're selling the spirituality. Now, you had asked before if you could curse. It's horse shit. It all exists for the story. It all exists to give the richness of the story. You can't kill the story. The whole purpose of a dream, nothing in the dream is real except for what you feel. You want dream analysis, Chris style? Very simple. I don't care if it was a blue elephant. How did that blue elephant make you feel? What did it bring up in you? That's why you got a blue elephant. It's about our connections. It's about that richness. And it's about using, and I'm going to go to the pain again. Pain is still really important for me because pain is a very important teacher. It shows me where I have work to do. It brings my attention. If I push it away, it's going to get stronger. But if I say, what are you telling me? I'm listening. Then it speaks and I grow. And I grow by loss. I grow by losing a false belief. I grow by losing a defense mechanism that prevented me from connecting to my heart. So, pleasure seeking and pain avoidance, it's a fun topic.
I'm also if you've read any of Eckhart Tolle's work, is that like
Yes.
what started him on this whole on his whole path was when he said that he was so sick of himself, he said. And then he was like, oh wow, who said that? Who said I'm so sick of myself? That he was so the awareness of who we are And Michael Singer refers to this as like the roommate in your head, is that the awareness of who you are that allows you to see yourself in this human experience, allows you to become the observer of, again, your brain, the lower mind, and what it's doing, and recognizing you as the higher mind, having control over that. And so I now, for myself, use this, the analogy, which we've heard of before, but it's different this time because when I learned it as a little kid, I saw it again as outside of myself. But now I recognize that it's actually not, that it's actually both aspects of myself. So the devil and the angel. I grew up saying, well, the devil is the Satan and it's telling you to do bad things and you don't want to listen to that. And that the angel is telling you to be like God and do the right thing and be a good girl and whatever. Now I've realized that these two voices in my head, that the angel is actually my inner being, my God self, that's saying, you're awesome, you're incredible, you're limitless. That when a thought comes into my head about, oh yeah, like for example, something recently that's coming up is that, Teresa, you should start your own magazine because I'm the editor of a magazine, and I've also helped other people create their magazines. And the download was, Teresa, you should have your own magazine, and this is what you should call it. And so my inner being is like, you can do that, absolutely. And you can do this with it, and this with this, and this with it. And then this little devil voice goes and says, but who are you to think that you can do that? And it's like, oh, that'll never work out for you because you don't have the connections and you don't have the money. And you can, that's what this devil is doing. This devil is spewing lies that tells me
Lies.
that I'm limited,
Yep.
that I don't have the gifts, that I don't have the potential. That, and then this one is telling, is which is my inner being saying, you can do whatever you want. You can have the life of your dreams. And this one, so there's this, and now because of this awareness, I'm helping people to understand this, let's say, this devil side to yourself, which is maybe our ego, that goes and says, no, you don't want, because people might laugh at you, or you might lose money, or you might be whatever. Maybe it's trying to protect me, maybe. But oftentimes it's lies.
It's a prison.
That this voice is the one that I want to choose to listen to. And that this voice can become louder the more that you listen to it, and to become aware that this devil, whatever, doesn't really exist, that it is actually just the limited lies that's here to keep us playing small and not maximizing the human experience. And so what I wanted to say to something that you said earlier is that we're here for a very short, limited amount of time. And why are we playing small? Why? Why?
No, and
You
you
know?
do it. You do it and you succeed and you're following your path. You do it and you fail. And what you've learned to make next time the success, you're following your path. And what will land, because we will always be blessed when we're coming from authenticity. I cannot say enough about trust and faith. You call it more love, I call it more faith.
Oh yeah, I want to talk to you about that faith, what you said.
I'm sure you do. Everyone does. Well, here's why. What's the opposite of fear?
Love.
No, faith.
Why is it faith? There is only love, and well, fear is just the opposite. I feel that it doesn't really exist. There is only love. There is actually only love. But fear is that awareness that we're not connected to the love that we are, so we feel fear, but it's just a disconnection, a misalignment.
Because love, like I said, I don't like the word. It's too broad. So I can even go with the love you're describing, universal love, love of the divine, includes, as I said earlier, and you can disagree, includes safety, because it's also there's a power behind it that we feel. We realize everything is okay. But you see, faith, fear is an apprehension or an aversion towards an action because of uncertainty of the outcome. So, yes, divinity love would qualify as its opposite, or faith would qualify as its opposite.
Now, I want to ask you about faith. So this is, I was trying to answer this a bit before, and I guess I went on a tangent.
Or maybe I did, I don't know.
The idea of faith
Yes.
kind of rolls into another word, hope.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, please. So, okay,
Okay.
maybe just explain
So
how they might be different.
faith is impeccable. Faith is without flaw. If you add a drop of doubt, now you have hope.
Okay, so now I'm going to go the other way. So, if faith and hope is that, then knowing, so this is the lately what I've been like exposed to is that faith is this idea as you're describing it, because hope, as you said, is like just an ounce of doubt in that. Knowing is actually one level higher than faith, because you don't need to have faith any longer in something that you just know it to be true.
Yes. Almost. I like that. I like that a lot. I have to actually chew it over.
I know, and that's why when you
That's
said
nice.
it, I was like,
Because
oh,
I
knowing is
played this game, with the chakras. Now, first of all, I love, and please explore this. I love the back aspect of the chakras. Force, true power comes from the back. Comes from the unknown, comes from the mystery. So the back aspect of the chakras is almost never mentioned. I strongly advise you explore it. You will be, and do it yourself because you're not going to find anything online or in books, almost nothing. This is the type of stuff, I'd be surprised if this recording survives. This is the type of stuff that I don't believe a lot of people are ready for because this, but we have to know it. My opinion of how chakras work is each one has to completely and totally trust the other. If I go to move my hand and I don't trust how it's going to move, like someone who has an injury has to go through physical therapy to reprogram that trust. So knowing is seamless operation. Faith can involve. Because it can be habituated. Faith can involve an apprehension, a consideration in order to put the doubt aside. But hope is toxic. Like if you're holding the doubt, find your doubt. That's why I say when the bad stuff happens, I'm like, bring it, because I don't want that doubt. I strive to be clear. It's a beautiful feeling. It's really connecting with the creator side of me. Yeah, but it's fun stuff. It really, I don't think we talked enough about happiness if anyone was expecting it, but we actually talked about what's going to help people to be
Right.
happy.
Yes. And the happiness is just to say, to sum up, because this is what my dissertation is on, that happiness is an innate quality of our spiritual self. In order for
Yes.
us to feel happy, it's aligning our physical, mental, and emotional self with the part of us that is always happy and happy in abundance. So happiness is like our arm, right? Our arm's there, but
Yes.
sometimes we may be disconnected from it. And so we're not feeling it. Happiness is like the sun, that it's always there. The sun is always shining. Just sometimes the clouds move in front, or the earth is turned and we don't see it. Doesn't mean that it's not there. It's always there.
Yes.
When we there could be things that are blocking us from feeling the sun. Happiness is always there in abundance for us to feel. But if we're misaligned and disconnected, we don't feel it. Now that I know this, because I didn't know that. Now that I know this, when I don't feel happy, I think about what aspect of myself is misaligned. Is it my mental self that is stuck in the block, whatever it is that I'm going through, and it's preventing me from connecting? Is it my emotional self that's also telling me I'm disconnected? Like it's what is it? And so that's where you ask those questions. You do that investigation. You listen to the communication because I'm like, this happiness is there. So it's my choice that I'm lingering over here in the clouds when all I
Yes.
need to do is remove the clouds. And that's where to say, like in my coaching program, I have two different programs. One of them is called Mental Freedom. That wasn't designed by me, it was designed by another practitioner, but I adopted her program because in just 6 weeks, it gives you tools to deal with the clouds. So it doesn't matter what the clouds are, whether the clouds are stuff from the past, whether it's day-to-day stuff that comes, doesn't matter. There is a tool, one of six tools, if, or sometimes they overlap that you can that I can use that when I'm troubled and I'm disconnected, I'm like, which one of those tools can I apply to this situation to remove the clouds? And then I'm back on the sunny side. So happiness is never lost. It's always there. It's the sun. It's that I need to, and unfortunately, we don't learn these tools in school. Like these are not things that people talk about. It's like unless you work with someone like me or you or whoever might have tools that can help to deal with those clouds to bring us back to the sun that we always are.
Telling you, Teresa, it's pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah, I
Spin
like
us around a bunch of times blindfolded, and then, hey, now start going. It really is the game of finding ourself. It's, and once we see it, it's just the most beautiful thing. And yeah, happiness.
is coming home to who we really are.
That's all it is. And it's absolutely fantastic. So, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, I'm going to put your contact information in this, but please, any way to contact you, reach out, whatever.
Thank you. So you can always check me out on my website. It's teresagreco.ca. Teresa has no H and Greco is CO, no K. I'm on all the social media platforms. So it's either at Steps to Happiness, at Teresa Greco underscore Steps to Happiness or Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. So on Instagram, it's underscore Teresa Greco. At Teresa Greco underscore Steps to Happiness. On YouTube, the same thing, Teresa Greco underscore Steps to Happiness. Also on TikTok, the same thing, at Teresa Greco. So I'm everywhere. If you just Google Teresa Greco,
And we'll also have the
happiness.
links. I'm going to make sure that the links are there.
Thank you. Thank
I
you.
try to be responsible. Ooh, real quick, fun one. Angels and Demons. It's another chapter in my book. I love it. Mine are a little bit different. I think angels, and I've had miracles happen. I'm sure you have too, especially once we leave ourselves open, we will get support. That's also what talks to me and gives me help, guidance. But devils aren't what we want to believe them to be. They balance each other. I love Taoism. They balance each other, I believe, 100%, 50-50, equal balance. They have to because they're energy.
Yes.
But the devils aren't just a guy in horns trying to make your life miserable. The devils give us our challenges. They provide the proving ground. They give us the opportunity of growth. They give us a chance to keep testing ourselves. They push us back onto our true and righteous path. The devils are equally important, and the gifts that they bestow upon us and the lessons they give us and what they do, it's shunned and pushed aside. And I don't necessarily want to be friends with one, but the value to what they've given me, I cannot be understated.
Yeah.
Cannot be overstated. I love just the fact that you have a very different way of expressing it, and it's not exactly the same thing, but the way that you're able to process, because the pushing away and rejection never works.
No, no. No, it's actually, thank you for saying that, because when I was talking about the two voices that just to say the devil on your shoulder, whatever is are those limiting thoughts and beliefs and things like that, but it's the superseding of that, right? That when you're like, F you, I'm not gonna listen to you, I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yes.
That in the rising up path, in the rising up of that, that you can then look at it and say, well, if you didn't try to keep me down, but how many people listen to that and allow it to keep them stuck and playing small rather than looking at it as the resistance wall, right? The
Yes.
resistance wall is that saying, no, you can't do it because last time you failed and whatnot, is that you're like, I'm going to do it anyway. And then realizing all these gifts and traits and strengths inside of you that you didn't know you had you not superseded or overcome what those limiting or devilish thoughts or whatever you
And
want to call it.
the devil can be outside. The devil can be obstacles on the world, but same exact concept. The devils also serve us, just in a way that might not always feel super awesome until we get past them, and then it's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw something out at that is that I had someone, another coach, call them, what you're referring to, as actual angels of evolution. So is it that it's like, oh, you want to look at those people as that, but she's like, they're actually angels of evolution because they helped you to grow because of that situation or because of what they did. That helped you to grow and become bigger of that. So when you said it's actually always love, if you kind of look at it like that, then it's like, oh wow, they weren't actually that I could look at them as angels of evolution because they helped me to get past it and to grow and expand and evolve because of that or them.
Exactly. On that note, Teresa, thank you so much for your time and wisdom, passion, openness. This has been a remarkable call podcast, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.